Hey guys, welcome back to Horror Thoughts. This is Sean, as always, joined by Scott. This episode, we're going to do a bit of a different kind of thing, something I'm kind of excited about. We're going to be looking at an unproduced script for Freddy versus Jason. For anyone who doesn't know, Freddy versus Jason had a really long development period. New Line Cinema got the rights to Jason in the early 90s, and they started commissioning various scripts, and it took a solid 10 years to find one worth making. The script we're looking at, I don't know if it's the first one, but it's definitely an early one. This is from, like, I think 93. Like, I don't think New Nightmare had even happened when this script was written. It was written by Lewis Abernathy, who I guess was just a friend of Sean Cunningham's. They had worked on a project prior. And so Cunningham asked him to take a stab at this project. It's not even called Freddy versus Jason. It's called Nightmare 13, Freddy Meets Jason, which, I mean, even from the title, kind of gives you a clue to the quality level we're dealing with. Scott, since you've talked about how much of a fan you are of Freddy versus Jason, the actual movie that happened. Have you ever looked into any of this early development stuff or behind the scenes?
No, I'd always kind of heard about it, but I never really had it on my radar until you brought it up in the past. And you've mentioned how many different rewrites there were for this one movie, which makes sense because there's such a gap of time between Jason Goes to Hell and all that to Freddy versus Jason. So that makes sense. And like you said, reading Nightmare 13, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay. I was like, when you sent me the script, I was like, I wonder if he's going to send me one that he thinks would have been a good addition or if he's going to send me one that's a bad addition. And as soon as I read Nightmare 13, I was like, oh, okay, we're starting with the bottom of the barrel. I get
it. So I read a bunch of these about 15 years ago, just because I was interested in it. And this is the one that always stuck in my mind the most. Because there's like a courtroom drama one. There's one that's like trying to be kind of meta, like New Nightmare. And I don't really remember any of those all that well, but this is the one that always like stuck in my brain because just there are key elements of this story that have never left my brain.
There are some parts of this I'm like, how did you put that to paper for real? How did you write that?
One of my notes, I'll go through it to specifically the part, because I don't remember what part it was, but there was specifically a point where I just wrote down, are you even trying?
I was, most of my list, surprisingly, there is like a couple pros that I was like, that's kind of interesting. But all of my cons are mostly quotes of things that people said in this script. I'm like, someone fucking said that. You're going to have someone say that out of their mouth on
camera. The dialogue's real rough.
It's horrible.
But for those who haven't read it, I wrote out a pretty in-depth summary of what happens in the script. So I'm going to go through that now. So our lead character is Megan, who is a high school student with an alcoholic mother, a wet blanket father, and a special ed sister, Lizzie. She's having nightmares about Freddy that also include her sister and Jason Voorhees. Meanwhile, there is this Freddy cult, a group of kids that burned themselves and used drugs to communicate with Freddy in the dream world. And there's this lunatic cop with a metal plate in his head trying to stop the cult. This cult kidnaps Lizzie because they plan to perform this weird ritual. Freddy has decided that he wants to be human again. In order to do so, he must marry a virgin, and he and his cult will impregnate her. Freddy's soul will enter the baby, and he will be reborn. I think. The cult pour the dream demons from Freddy's dead, the final nightmare, into Freddy's skeleton, which gives him his powers back, allowing him to kill again, because he spends most of the script kind of impotent.
Stop you real quick?
Go ahead.
It is much funnier hearing someone give a plot synopsis of this movie, because It sounds just as ridiculous as it felt when I was reading it. Having to say more the dream demons, dude. Oh, shit. That almost had me crying here, and you have to explain that. I'm sorry.
Megan is determined to save her sister, knowing the crazy metal plate cop will just kill her. So she, along with her boyfriend Jesse and best friend Stormy, find a former member of the cult, Erwin, and break him out of a mental hospital. They try to kill Freddy themselves, but fail miserably. So Megan, super genius, comes up with the idea of resurrecting Jason Voorhees so he can kill Freddy.
Of course.
They dig Jason's body up, but Jesse is killed by Freddy soon after. Erwin realizes they'll need a heart to resurrect Jason, and Megan cuts out her dead boyfriend's heart to use. Jason is resurrected, but Megan, Stormy, and Erwin are arrested by the cops, who show up and seemingly defeat Jason. While in the cell, Stormy is killed by Freddy.
Can you say real quick how they defeated Jason, please? Because it fucking killed
me. The cop points a laser pointer at Jason, and then like some kind of super nuke happens.
They drop napalm on him like they would drop in Vietnam on top of Jason, 10 feet away from the cop.
Everybody else is fine. Yeah. But yes, they napalm Jason.
They napalmed one man, not the entire forest. One man, dude. Oh.
Also, Jason survives.
Yeah, he's fine. He just strolled off into the lake.
It off, which is crazy. But while in the cell, Stormy is killed by Freddy, and Megan manages to escape using the power of lesbianism. But she realizes the cult are taking over a chapel. Meanwhile, Jason rescues Erwin, who is being taken back to the mental hospital. And due to having Jesse's heart inside him, I assume, wants to save Megan. Megan arrives at the church and offers herself up as Freddy's bride, as she is also a virgin. Freddy accepts, and a new wedding is on because Freddy is pretty willing to compromise, turns out. Jason and Erwin crash the wedding, allowing the cops inside as well. Freddy and Jason go into the dream world, and they fight in a boxing ring where Ted Bundy is the referee.
Okay.
Bloody Mary is like the ring girl that holds up the signs, and there's a whole bunch of like evil people in the crowd, like Hitler and stuff. And they fight a little bit in there. Jason takes Freddy back to the real world, where Freddy is pretty easily defeated. The dream demons try to enter the TV signal because it's the church is like for one of those TV priests. You know, that kind of thing. So they try to enter the TV signal, which will do something. But Megan diverts the trajectory of Freddy's soul, trying to get into the TV signal, I guess, to become Shocker, from the satellite dish to the sun. And that is how Freddy is killed, is he gets launched to the sun somehow. The insane cop enters, kills Erwin, and Jason, this is not a joke, gives the cop a wedgie before shoving a shotgun up his ass. And then the rest of the cops enter and kill Jason. And then there is a cliffhanger ending that sort of implies that Freddy is still alive.
You know, it's a huge bummer, just for everyone listening. The script goes on a lot longer than you would think. And I read up to the point of the church before we started this episode, and I missed so much goodness that I'm gonna have to go back and reread after this. I mean, you got Ted Bundy as a ref, Freddy shot into the sun. That is just beautiful writing.
Yeah, as you said, the script is too long. For anyone who doesn't know, a script, usually one page equals 1 minute of screen time. This thing is 112 pages, so it's nearly 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Which I know doesn't sound like much, but like for a slasher film, And for one of these films, it's a bit much. Like, this needs to be a good 30 pages shorter.
Yes. I can think of many scenes that could have been cut from that.
And for a movie with Jason's name in the title, he does not show up till about page 70. Which, again, would be over an hour in before you actually met Jason Voorhees.
Do you have any pros? Did you come
there was
up
with one line I kind of liked, one line of dialogue. It's when Megan has the dream in class, and so her boyfriend, Jesse, suggests that she go to the library or something to research dreams, and she asks him to come with her. And she says something like, oh, let's cut class so that we can go to the library. And he says something like, you want me to cut class so we can go to the library? That was the one line that I thought was kind of funny.
So the pro I got, let's see. It's talking about the tombstone when they find Jason. And it says, born 1945, death 1953. And then crudely underneath it, it says 1981, 1982, 1984, 1985. And has all the dates for the Jason movies. I was like, that's
a good joke. That's probably the best joke of the movie.
So this is a con, but there's a pro in the con, I guess. The fact that Jason drives a car is insane.
Oh my God. I wrote that too. Like, Jason can drive.
But that is a huge mindfuck of a con. But the pro that I just found funny is trying to imagine giant Jason trying to buckle his seatbelt. Like, that would make me laugh hard seeing that one. So, like, it does some of like the what Jason Lives does with the humor. Like, it's got some elements mm-hmm. of that where it's kind of poking fun of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
They're clearly looking at Freddy's Dead more than anything. That's the thing this most reminded me of. But, and as someone who somewhat defends Freddy's Dead, I don't think this even works as that does. Like, some of the jokes in Freddy's Dead are at least kind of funny.
Something.
Like, this is just, I don't even know.
Did you realize how many things they referenced from all the other movies that they threw into this?
The Nightmare ones, they're pretty light on Friday references, but the Nightmare ones, they were throwing them out.
Dude, like everywhere. Like
crazy.
It was insane. Like, don't dream nonstop. And drive. And I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, you did that already.
Yeah. It's like, God
damn. We're reusing puns? That's where we're at?
And he had some, you know what, I'm just going to dive right into my cons because I got a list of quotes that have been said in this that I was like, what the fuck? Where you been all my death, baby?
Ugh.
Fucking made me shiver with how uncomfortable that was. I was like, that is so embarrassing and awkward and horrible. I feel uncomfortable hearing it. There's one part where the character's talking about her phases. She's like, I went through a gangster phase and a this phase. And then they said it so wrong. She said, and then I went through my death rock phase. And I'm like, I'm not a genre stickler, but I'm like, hey, dude, that's not a thing. You're someone trying to assume what metalheads would say. Death rock isn't, was that like Disturbed? Like, it's death metal.
I don't
metal.
Even know what that means.
Yeah.
Death
like,
rock. It sounds like an older guy who has no idea about like young culture. It sounds like, oh, didn't the old person write this?
Exactly. As soon as I heard death rock, I was like, oh, this is what an old person thinks a metalhead is. I get it. This is not even close. He turns her into a lobster, or turns someone into a lobster at some point.
Yeah.
Have that. He makes I love Clint Eastwood, and he mm-hmm. references Clint Eastwood and says, go ahead, make my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was real rough.
I got the napalm bit because if anyone knows anything about napalm, you're not going to pinpoint one specific point and everyone else is safe. You would have destroyed everything in that.
Yeah.
The fact that they got up with the military within a period of a night, they got with the military to get napalm in a jet, which they don't even use anymore, and then drop napalm over a fucking camp in Crystal Lake is astounding that you could get that done in an evening. So that was like the most ridiculous. If people thought that Jason Goes to Hell was a weird way to kill Jason, try having napalm dropped on him. The Booger Man scene.
Oh, good God.
Fucking insane. Why that? And the worst part is they reference it at the beginning, like to set it up for later.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, dude. Why would we do this? And the last line I got to when I stopped reading, and it actually made me laugh out loud. I was physically laughing because I couldn't believe someone actually wrote this out on a piece of paper and looked at it and went, that's pretty good. I should keep that. It's when she goes to volunteer herself over Lizzie is the virgin, and Freddie mm-hmm. says, yes, you are a bit juicier than your retard sister. And dude, I was in tears when I read that. I'm like, I cannot believe a grown man wrote that on a piece of paper and was like, that's perfect. They can definitely do that in this movie. I'm not, it's not even that it's offensive. It's that it's just insane that Freddie would say, you're a bit juicier than your retard sister. Casually. Oh, shit. Dude, that one had me crying.
Freddie is wildly out of character. This entire script, he never feels like Freddie. It honestly, if it wasn't for all the references and lore stuff, I would swear Abernathy had never watched one of these movies. Like, what is Freddie doing? Like, this whole plot is un-Freddie. Like, a virgin bride giving birth to himself so he can be human again. Why would he want to be human again?
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good deal. And all he has to do to get his powers back, apparently, is just his cult people. Like I said before, are just going to pour the demons into his skeleton, and then he's back at full power.
Yeah.
Why on earth would he want to be reborn? I don't get it. And the deaths suck.
Horrible.
Like you said, the puns are awful. There's a nightmare mobile sequence.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, come on. Like, and I found the note where I said, is this writer even trying? It's silver bullets. We're out of nowhere. Erwin is like, silver bullets will kill him.
And you're like, oh.
Rob is like, you're not trying. You're not even, you're literally not trying. Like, what are you doing?
And then they always keep referencing where they go, well, we don't make the rules. I'm like, you do as the writer, bitch.
Like, they kept saying it as like an excuse.
Yeah, to just throw in campy shit. I'm like, you do make the rules. You're making this.
Oh, my God.
I feel like the cult idea as more of like a softer plot in a movie could be a cool idea if someone did it right, like having some Freddy fanatics in a way, mm-hmm. but not being the forefront. And like you said, the motive is insane because they can bring him back with the dream demons, but he wants to be reborn. It's like I don't, the cult idea could be played up a little bit, I think, but the way none of that movie flowed together at all.
I don't know how a cult would happen. I don't understand the status quo
yeah.
of Springwood or what's going on. Characters seem to be aware of Freddy and Jason, but then still need Freddy and Jason to be explained. I was very confused for yeah. a lot of the script about who knows what, because Megan seems to know who Freddy is, but then seems completely clueless about the dream aspect of it. And that kept throwing me. And like, they all know who Jason is, but then they have to stop and be like, well, wait, who's Jason? And it's like, well, I thought you knew.
Yeah.
It's,
Sheriff Murdoch getting a machete to the dome and then surviving, but just becoming an asshole. It's like, that's going to be your plot point to make this dude kind of a dick.
And his dialogue was the one that kept really like, rubbing me the wrong way, because he just keeps saying punk. It's like the only punk. Word he knows. He just keeps saying punk. And it's like, really? That's the best you can come up with? Is he's just gonna stomp around and be like, punks.
I know, like, that's how they wrote him in too, is that he's like, he has one big paragraph and then he'll end it with punks.
Punks.
Every time, man.
Every time.
All because of a machete accident.
It's like, yeah. It's like, okay. Sure. Also weird to give him a Jason backstory. Like, I get it's a way to kind of get Jason in a little earlier, because again, plot wise, he doesn't enter this until an hour in, but it's still weird to give him like a history with Jason.
Yeah. It It added nothing. This whole movie added nothing. Nothing added nothing in this movie. Nothing mattered.
I didn't really like the cult. I guess maybe in a different context, it could maybe work. Certainly the idea that they would burn themselves is very creepy.
Like those
That's intense. But the moment they lost me in this script is in the opening action scene where the cops are fighting the cult in the house, the classic Elm Street house. And there's a tank of piranhas.
Yeah, they Home Alone that shit.
It's like, and they tell us how long they've been there. They've only been there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They got a whole tank of piranhas in there somehow and trapped it in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay.
They dug an entire underground tunnel.
Yeah. Underground tunnel in Illinois. Okay.
Oh.
And too much of the script is spent on the cult and the cops and like the fight between them. And it's like, that's not what I'm here to see, guys.
Like, I feel like if what I thought was going to happen, which I would have made for a better point, I guess, is I thought the cult was going to bring Freddy back and then he was just going to waste the cult. I was like, they're going to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have some deal. He's going to come back and just fucking kill him. And then he's going to go do whatever he's going to do.
No, he seems really down with it.
Yeah, he was all right with him. Like,
Freddy's pretty cool reasonable.
Yeah.
Outside of like the raping a virgin thing. Like,
yeah,
he's pretty all right this movie.
He might rape a virgin, but if he makes a promise, he is not going to break it.
It's funny, there is a comic. There's a comic book where Freddy has to enter like an unlikely alliance with like a serial killer that's like a fan of Freddy. I forget what exactly the plot is to make that happen. But how it ends is just like you said, where Freddy gets him killed or Freddy kills him. Cause that's obviously how that would end. Like Freddy doesn't want a partner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
That's that made me think, you ever seen Mr. Brooks?
No.
Oh, that made me think of Mr. Brooks. That's a good movie. Hmm. Definitely better than this piece of shit script.
That thankfully did not get made.
Oh God. Would you now? That's the real question. You've got to read it right now. Bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to see this in a film? Because part of me kind of does. With how bad it's going to be
in a so bad it's good kind of way.
Yeah,
certainly parts of it. I think there are scenes that had this been made would have become iconic bad movie moments. Certainly the wrestling ring scene Ted Bundy and Bloody Mary, like that would have become infamous real quick.
Not to be a stickler of who's in hell, but if you think about history, Ted Bundy is really tame compared. Like, obviously, he should be in hell, but who would be officiating that? There's people way more evil than Ted Bundy was.
And Hitler's just like in the audience.
Yeah, he's just
like,
chilling.
Maybe it should be Hitler.
Yeah, like dude, Genghis Khan. Like, how far back in history is hell going? Like, there's so many people worse than Ted Bundy, but they're like, no, we got to have him as the ref. He's hot.
And the fight feels really short too. That's, say, I think the other problem, like looking at the Freddy versus Jason we got, how long do you think we get Freddy and Jason fighting? It's a good chunk.
It's a while because they start in the fire, in the cabin on fire. Then they get sent to where those air tanks are.
Even before that, they're fighting in the dream.
Yeah, in the dream, yeah.
So we probably get a good 30 to 45 minutes of a fight.
That's
that
the
movie.
One thing I've heard a lot of complaints about Freddy versus Jason, but the one thing that I've never heard complaints on is like, you get what you came for. Like they do fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a good fight and it's long and it's really well done. And this is just not the rest. Both the dream world and real world sections are very short. The wrestling ring is too comedic. Freddy's like turning into like a hammer and like beating Jason down.
Oh Jesus.
Oh, I forgot. The best part, I forgot it in my summary. I'm going to blow people's minds. This story element, for whatever reason, maybe this was a Bob Shea idea. I don't know, because it's in a lot of these scripts, like a lot of them. Freddy kills Jason. Like, that's how Jason drowns. Freddy did it. That's the big sort of twist.
Like back in the day?
Yes. Freddy is the one that killed Jason in the lake.
Oh, shit.
He drowned him. He pushed him in and drowned him. Is like the big like reveal. And because like during the dream fight in the wrestling ring, Freddy is like pushing Jason like into the ring as if it's water. And Jason has like a flashback where he remembers seeing 13-year-old Freddy drowning him, drowning Jason as a kid.
Damn.
And someone liked this idea because it pops up in a couple of these. Sometimes they make it adult Freddy, who also raped Jason's mother as part of it. Jesus. I think in one of the scripts, but they kept trying to like tie their origins together. And this is probably the first time that happened, but they liked it a lot. And even in the film we got, like, they reference it. Like, it's not the official, this is how we drown, but, you know, they do that dream sequence where Freddy has Jason under the water.
Yeah.
So even they kind of did it, but in a way that makes sense.
It's not... yeah, that's horrible.
And contrived.
Thank God we got the 2003 movie.
Yeah, thank you God. I don't love that movie, but man, reading the scripts... and I haven't read some of the others in a long time, but this is the one where it's like, oh, thank fuck. I'll take that. Sure. You know what?
We need to do these like once a month. As I was reading it, I was like, no fucking way.
Can I tell you my favorite part? And this is the reason it's always stuck with me. Why I've never forgotten this script is the Jason loves Megan stuff. The taking her boyfriend's heart, who I misremembered that. I swear to God, I remembered her boyfriend's name also being Jason. Which I thought was way funnier, but it's Jesse, which I was very bummed to read. but taking his heart and putting it in Jason. And so Jason is basically a hero in this movie. He is not a bad guy. He's not a killer. He is 100% a superhero here to save the day. And again, this is a thing the scripts do a lot, is they make Jason the good guy that needs to stop Freddy. Which is just very funny to me. Like, he's carrying this like locket around with like her picture in it. It's like, oh my God.
Whenever Jason was reaching out for handshakes, I was like, what?
He shook somebody's hand.
And then he went to go help him up and he did it. They emphasized it three different times. He put his hand out. I'm like,
really? Well, he was showing him the locket.
Yeah.
Just to sort of reinforce his point, because he can't talk.
But the fact that he would fucking...
do that.
Seeing Jason do that three times
it's very funny.
Astounding.
Again, both killers are weirdly polite and understanding in this movie.
They're not all bad qualities. They got a little, you know, a little rough around the edges, but
Freddy made a bunch of friends. He's getting married.
What a guy. I mean, she's 14, but whatever.
well, he aged up to a 17-year-old.
Yeah,
he's working on it.
He was tired of that. Not as juicy retard sister.
Oh God.
That line. Oh, like, again, it's not like it's an offensive thing to me or like, I'm like, oh my God, I get it. It's the times, whatever. But the fact that at any time period, he thought that was
it's just such a dumb line.
It's so dumb.
I love that the main character being a virgin is like a twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like she just runs in and is like, I'm a virgin.
Like, she's in high school, right? Like, it's not that surprising. Like, was she, if she's 45 and she's like, I've not, you'd be like, damn, girl. But yeah, she's 17. I'm like, it's not like if some 17-year-old girl was like, I'm a virgin, I wouldn't be like, holy shit, what? Dude. That's in, yeah.
That How does Freddy not know?
He should, yeah. Like,
and like, why is he haunting her dreams? If he has no interest in her, he's just going to get the sister. Like, why is he bothering with Megan at all?
I mean, at least
he can't kill her.
At least he tried to get someone of legal age, you know, depending on your state, 17 is legal. So at least he didn't want to be a pedophile.
Look up Illinois. It's probably not Illinois.
At least he was trying to not be a pedophile. That's, you know, that's a good thing.
I know this isn't your bag, but have you seen any of the Transformers movies?
I saw the first one like a long time ago.
There's a part in the fourth one where Mark Wahlberg is the main human character, and he has a teenage daughter that's like 16 or 17, and she is dating an older man, and Mark Wahlberg's like, yo, what the fuck, she's 17 and they're in Texas, and he pulls out this card that he carries on him that says it's okay, legally okay, for him to date a 17-year-old. It's like, really?
Yeah. Also in Texas, so 17 is a gray area. You can kind of fall either way. If you're under that, or let's say you're in high school, right? and you're 15 and he's 19, you can have 4 years either way.
Okay.
So with parents' consent. So if you're under, if you're 16, your boyfriend can be 20 legally with consent. It can be 4 years up or down, which is kind of bananas, but
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty ballsy to carry around a card that says I can do this legally. That would get you punched in the face.
Yeah, imagine saying that to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, how do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, he'd for sure fucking beat your ass.
Do you have anything else on whatever the fuck we just read?
Can't wait to read the next one. I feel like it's only going to be a step up. I had more fun with this episode than I thought. I was like, man, how are we going to read a script and talk about it? But you picked the right one to start with, where I'm like, all right, I can get into this. There's some ridiculous shit in here.
Okay. Well, I have one piece of big horror news, which is the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie now has a release date. Entertainment Weekly published a big whole article on it and just a picture, a still from the film. It's nothing like crazy. It's just kind of a silhouette of Leatherface in the town. It is going to be released in February. I'm trying to find the exact date. I should have written it down instead of just having the article pulled up, because it is a long article. Release date. I can't find it. It's February on Netflix.
There's a lot dropping in February.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so, horror-wise.
Yeah, there's a lot. Screams in February.
Screams in January. Never a good sign. It's hard to tell on streaming services. Theaters, certainly, it's a dumping ground, but streaming services, like, I don't think it matters.
Why is it that movies have peak periods in the theaters? Because you can go to the movies year-round, so why do they have windows that are like, movies are more popular to watch here than
Well,
there?
Some of it's going to be schools. Kids going to the movies in the summer and Christmas time because people have more free time.
That
plays into it. And then some things are just seasonally appealing. So like horror movies, like you want to see those during October.
Yeah.
For the most part, like that feels appropriate. And well, this used to be the case. It is not anymore. But like summer movies, we kind of started to associate with action stuff.
Yeah.
But now because of Marvel, those just come out when the fuck ever. So that they can put out 5 a year. So that stuff is going away a little bit. I don't know why January is such a down period for them. Maybe just people are staying home after the holidays and don't want to get out. Maybe. But January is this like big dumping ground. I'm just like, we have no faith in this. So, bleh. But again, on streaming, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
They talked a little bit about the story for the new Texas Chainsaw. They said that it is a sequel to the original film, but not one that necessarily takes anything else out of canon, which I don't even know why you would care. There's like 7 different canons. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I hope it's a sequel to Next Generation.
I sincerely doubt it. But what they're talking about is that it's about these group of people, particularly these two guys that go to this small town place in Texas, and they're kind of entrepreneurs and they're trying to sort of do some kind of business stuff. I don't know. Just somehow make it like a touristy spot is my guess, is what they're trying to do. And then they will obviously come across some pushback in the form of a chainsaw wielding maniac. And we'll see how that goes. Nothing I read sounded super interesting other than typical stuff. Doesn't seem like there's a family this time. Seems like it's just Leatherface. And the director, it might've been the director, had a weird quote where he sort of implies that Leatherface has just kind of been hanging out as a normal person for a long time. And there's something that these main characters have done to set him off. But that for the most part, he's kind of just lived his life, which is like, okay.
Yeah, it's with Texas Chainsaw, honestly, the story at this point, it doesn't matter. They've changed it so many times. And it's crazy to think for such a horror icon, when you look through all of the films, most people think there's maybe three good ones.
Even that's being nice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, most people will like the original. Some people like the second, and then the remake. And then the rest, some people have, I enjoyed this one more than this one, but I think they're equally not that good.
No, every sequel, other than the two you mentioned, two and the 2003 remake, might have like a small minority fan base, but certainly none of them are well-liked.
Yeah, not for like a huge franchise, which is...
Like, I'll kind of be like, three's okay.
Yeah.
But like, I'm pretty on an island on that very...
Yeah, not three is like the most indifferent movie in the whole franchise to me.
I'm yeah.
Like, whatever.
People enjoy four, just not for good reasons.
Yeah, you can go see unhinged Matthew McConaughey.
My worry about it, because this is the thing we've been doing for Leatherface for the last couple of these, is trying to make him somewhat of an anti-hero. So I'm a little worried, just from some of the quotes, that our human characters are going to be kind of the bad guys. And so like in the last two, in Texas Chainsaw 3D and in the Leatherface prequel, how there were like evil, corrupt cops. So that like Leatherface had someone to fight, that people that were worse than him.
Yeah.
I just think that's weird. Like, he's a chainsaw wielding cannibal.
Yeah. The horror should come from that. Not the.
Yeah. Like, I don't under. And again, that ties into this script of having this weird third antagonist with the cop with, what did you say his name was? Murdoch?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird to do that. It's like, that's, I don't fucking care about that.
Yeah, I don't need him. I already have two main characters in one movie. I don't need a third.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's kind of the only thing. I think there was something to do with Scream, like, because there was some sort of event, I think, down in Brazil. And so there was like a 15-minute panel about the new Scream movie. I watched like 2 minutes, got annoyed, and turned it off. So.
Yeah, if you guys want to see a Scream 5 review, just come to my YouTube, because I doubt we'll cover it here.
Do you have anything?
No, I got nothing. Nothing right now.
Oh, well, I think that will cover it for this episode. Let us know what you think of this script. If you've read it, we might leave a link to it in the description.
Yeah, I'll link it.
Yeah, because you should definitely read it, because it's insane. Let us know if you want to do other stuff like this, because there are several for Freddy versus Jason. There's a Friday the 13th one that I'd like to do that's actually good. That's a movie I wish had gotten made. There might be some Halloween ones out there too. That one might be a little harder, but there are definitely some stuff out there. Be sure to, you know, follow us on all our pages. You can find me, Sean Bloom and Shine, on YouTube and Instagram. Scott, Partial Artist, on YouTube. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.